Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Flacco was traded today to the Bengals. He goes from Cleveland to the Bengals. Not a lot involved here, but the Bengals are in desperate need of some better quarterback play. So the Browns go, we're going to go with the kids. That's Dylan Gabriel. That, of course, is Shador Sanders. Shador now is elevated to the number two quarterback. It's something we've been talking about today here on the show as we get ready for the Falcons and Bills.
In case you're wondering, Cincinnati's sending a fifth rounder and they get a sixth rounder back along with Flacco. So, and that's Flacco. I mean, we always felt like Kirk Cousins maybe could get us a third rounder, fourth rounder. Carl's of the opinion there maybe they're just going to let him hang here.
Are you guys willing to tell me, and Connor, we're going to get to Connor Riley here and talk dogs. You guys willing to tell me nobody's called about Kirk Cousins? Nobody?
The Bengals seem to be the most logical one. And yes, Kirk Cousins at this stage of his career, completely healed from the Achilles, is a better option than Joe Flacco.
He is. He is. And despite what you might think of him, a guy said, oh, Dukes, he's washed. He's not washed like this.
Unless we were sticking to our guns that the Bengals would have to eat a big chunk of that contract. Yeah. If they had, and they didn't have the wherewithal, then that's it.
All right. And I don't know. I'm just speculating. Let's talk dogs.
Muckraker.
All right, Connor Riley, tell me, I know Kirby spoke today, but before we get to the Auburn stuff, well, what did you make of the performance against Kentucky? I don't know. I was just lacking something, Connor. I don't know what it was. Did you feel this way, or are you totally satisfied with how they played?
I'm totally satisfied with how they played. They got up to an early lead. This was the first game against a Power 4 opponent that they led at halftime since October of last year against Texas. They took care of business, you know. Yes, Gunner reception in the second quarter on a throw you wouldn't have liked to see, especially on first down. But defense forced a turnover in the second half. Other than the pass rush, which we're going to learn a ton about this week when they play Auburn, I thought it was very get in, get out, get an easy win. Something Georgia just hasn't had a ton of late. And so in that sense, you know, they did everything I think they needed to. I wasn't looking for them to go out there and score 55 points against a Kentucky team. That's not going to change the way I think we feel about this team. So from that standpoint, they did everything I think they wanted to on Saturday and got out of there with a comfortable win.
You know, we spent a lot of time on Gunnar Stockton and yesterday because I get to see Carson Beck up close and personal on Saturday night. It looked great. He seems, and there's a lot of videos out there, some from Dog Nation, seen some other fan sites, Connor, where Gunner's just not seeing some open receivers. So Bobo is scheming guys open, but Gunner, at least from what I've seen, isn't picking it up. You vibe that?
Yeah, and I think Kirby had some very interesting comments to make after the game on Saturday where they want to see him be a little bit more aggressive in terms of putting the ball in the air. And I think that, you know, that's something we're coming into this game. I know we had talked about he hadn't thrown an interception yet, and you almost wonder if maybe he had been trying to be too careful when it comes to that. I do think Mike Bobo has done a very good job with this offense this year and putting the pieces in place to be successful. Obviously, they've done a great job running the football. I think that there are plays to be made, and I think as Gunner, you know, again, we are moving out of the territory where we can say he's no longer an inexperienced starter. I'll be interested in seeing how he goes on the road this week at Auburn, a team that has a very good pass rush, and how they choose to defend him. I think this is going to be a very interesting test for Gunner this week because I do think that there are going to be plays that he can make in this game, but he's got to make them with his arm because I think we know what we're getting from him with his legs at this point in time.
All right, what about this O-line? What's the update? Who's healthy? Who's not? What's the situation heading into Auburn week?
Yeah, it sounds like Monroe Feeling avoided significant injury against Auburn, against Kentucky, left in the first quarter with an ankle injury. Not going to need tightrope surgery. I think he's going to be questionable over the course of the week, and they're going to see how close he can go. on Saturday. This is an Auburn pass rush. I think this is the real strength of their team other than their wide receivers. And Kedrick Falk is a guy who's going to be a first-round pick next April. This is a game where if you're Monroe Freeling, you need to be as close to 100% as you can be. I'd be surprised if we see Ernest Green this week if he continues to deal with a back injury. But Michael Morris sounds like he's good to go. He's dealing with a variety of injuries, but he's hurt, not injured, and thus able to play through them. And I think this offensive line, you know, it's obviously been a serious conversation starter, but I think with what you've seen from Juan Gaston, what you've seen with Dontrell Glover, the way that this group has gotten better in spite of all these injuries, it's been impressive with what Stacey Searles has done to this point. And if they play well on Saturday, I think that really encourages you for what this team might be able to accomplish over the second half of the season. But they've got a major test on their hands, and they may well be without their starting left tackle.
The usage rate for the studs, you know, we talked about, you know, not just the recruiting, the five stars, the transfer portal guys. Are the young defenders that were a lot of expectations about these guys going to have to grow up quick? Are they on schedule? Was it just too much of an ask? I know you made a great point last week. You always felt there was a ceiling with this team because it was so young.
Yeah, and so I think in some spots you're seeing that. Like I think Ellis Robinson and DeMelo Jones, the last week in particular against Kentucky, maybe the last 2 weeks for DeMelo, are really starting to turn the corner and start to look like SEC-level defensive backs. And obviously they're going to face better passing offenses than they did against Kentucky, but you start to see there. Justin Williams is a sophomore who I think looked really good last week and is another linebacker and another weapon that they can play with there in the middle of that defense. And if he's able to emerge, I think that frees you up to do a little bit more with Chris Cole, who is just this team's best pass rusher. I think on the defensive line, you're seeing some good things out of Elijah Griffin. He's sort of rounding into form there. They're still very young on this defense, and I think just in terms of what they might be able to do, they're going to be limited in that sense over the course of the season. But last week against Kentucky, and this is where getting out to a big lead helped, it allowed you to play so many different guys and get guys key reps. And that's just something, because they weren't blowing teams out last season, they just didn't really get a chance to do a whole lot. And I think that's going to help, maybe not necessarily this week on the road at Auburn, but down the line as this team gets more and more experience.
What do you think about the third downs? I heard Kirby talking about, well, they were not great on third down. He wants to be better on third down. What do you think they're lacking there, and what's the situation?
Yeah, I think part of that was late in the game, that second string defense gave up some plays that he was not thrilled with, took some plays away from the offensive side of the ball. Because statistically, 3 of 11 defensively, limiting Kentucky in that regard. I believe 9 of 12 when they had the ball on the offensive side of the ball. So statistically, they're doing things better. I think the big thing that you saw against Kentucky, they were able to get into third and manageable, third and short. And from there, use Gunner's legs to pick up first downs. He had a couple of those. Obviously, he had a touchdown run in the red zone there as well. And so when we talk about staying on schedule and running the football, if Georgia's able to find themselves consistently in third and shorts where they're not going to have to be put in obvious passing situations, I think that's going to make life much, much easier for Gunnar Stockton. And more importantly, it's going to make this Georgia offense much more dangerous because that allows you to go on long drives, play ball control. I think that's a big reason Alabama has been so successful this season is they've sort of realized, hey, you know, our defense may not be what it needs to be. We're going to play ball control offense and really keep the ball out of the opposing team's hands. And I think you're starting to see Georgia pick up on that and use that as well.
It's a Connor Riley, guys. K. Connor Riley from Dog Nation, if you follow him on Twitter. Auburn, I felt they got really hosed against a good Oklahoma defense. Their defense, I mean, maybe it's kind of like, I don't know, a lunch pail group. Their defensive stop rate is 31st in the country for you nerds out there. But what do you make of what Auburn's going to try to do this weekend?
I'm very interested in seeing how Auburn starts this game because, look, that place is going to be rocking. For those that have been there, when that place is right, Jordan-Hare is one of, if not the best environments in the SEC. But, you know, you talked about the defense. I thought they played really well against Oklahoma. I thought they played really well against Texas A&M. Both those games were on the road. But if Georgia's able to start fast, something they've been a little bit better at than maybe people are willing to realize right now, and Georgia's able to get out to a 10-0 lead, maybe a 14-0 lead or something like that, and this Auburn offense starts slow, I really wonder and worry about what we're going to see with this Auburn program because against Texas A&M, they didn't convert a third down at all. That's really hard to do, especially when you have a mobile quarterback like Jackson Arnold. Auburn leads the country in sacks allowed 21 through 5 games. It is something where if this offense struggles again on Saturday against Georgia, that look, you know, for what they gave up against Alabama, I think they did a really good job stopping the run. That's been something they've been great at this season. And if you're putting Auburn in third and longs, well, yes, they have great receivers, Cam Coleman, Eric Singleton Jr. if you're putting him in third and longs consistently, that's going to make life really difficult on offense that hasn't necessarily been able to get out of their own way. So while, yes, this game is at home, how Auburn starts offensively and thus how Georgia starts defensively, I think is going to have a massive impact in showing what this game ultimately can end up being.
All right. Quarterback concerns with their quarterback? What do you think there? And look, how dynamic can he be? I don't know if he's played his best game yet, but he does pose some problems.
Yeah, look, he's a mobile threat. He's a guy that, look, he beat Alabama last year when Oklahoma hosted Alabama. This is a guy that is capable of making big plays in big games. He's been incredibly limited as a passer, in my opinion. He holds on to the ball for a bit too long. Hugh Freeze has even talked about and acknowledged that. I think that's the reason why the sacks are what they are. Coming out of a bye, you expect to see some different looks and things change a little bit. I don't quite yet think we're going to see Deuce Knight, Auburn's talented freshman quarterback, get inserted at this point in time. But this is a massive, massive game for Hugh Freeze and this Auburn program. They need a win like this. The fact that they had a bye last week, the fact that they get this game at night, the fact that they're retiring Cam Newton's jersey at halftime of this game.
Oh,
this is all sort of things that, you know, you try and line up to get and pull a big upset like this.
It's the Deep South. I mean, like the South. No one gives a crap about Virginia and North Carolina. It's the Deep South, the South's oldest rivalry. But it's been so one-sided. You know, that's the thing. I mean, is Connor, it's a trap, Carl.
It is.
I mean, you got to go back, as you said, I think 17, the last time that they got it done. Of course, Georgia fans remember the tip. That, speaking of, like, that was Franklin was quarterback that year. And, of course, Cam just, you know, made everything happen in 2010. But, yeah, just – and I agree. We've said this a million times, Connor. I don't know. You've traveled all over the SEC. You brought this up. The acoustics, something about Jordan-Hare. I don't know if it's the extended glass and the suites or whatever. It just seems like it's louder than any other stadium.
It is a place where, when it is right, it is as hard to win as any place in this league. But – I think there have been times where, because this Auburn program has fallen off, I think I saw the stat the other day, Georgia since 2021 is 57-6. And each of the, since 2021, Auburn has lost at least six games in three of the last four seasons. And so it speaks to, I think, where these programs are headed. And, you know, look, Georgia's got a lot of border rivalries. You know, you make a case for Tennessee, Florida, Georgia Tech. Auburn is certainly one in there, but this one has been so dominated and so one-sided, where, like, you have to go back 20 years to the last time Auburn won in Sanford Stadium. But when this game has been played, Jordan-Hare, it's been a little bit closer. The 21 team was the only one that really made that a comfortable win in that regard, the only one that's been decided by more than 7 points in Georgia's favor in Kirby Smart's tenure. And so I think Auburn, with all that surrounds this game, knows that they really need to get a win in this situation, given they've already lost two SEC teams. And if you go 0-3 against Oklahoma, A&M, and Georgia, knowing you still got Alabama on your schedule later, you've got a talented Missouri team, Vanderbilt once again, it could once again be a long season. And this is another year for Hugh Freeze where you can't afford to keep taking these losses.
Connor, we talked about this yesterday on the show. I think Miami's the best team in the country. Long way to go. We'll see. But part of this is the way Carson Beck is playing. Who's your best team in the country right now? Is it, in fact, Ohio State? Because I look at these rankings, and I just don't know how much better Oregon is over Texas A&M, over Ole Miss, over – it's just hard for me to quantify at this point. What do you think?
Based on what I have seen and been able to watch and trying my best to consider resumes, knowing obviously everyone's not going to be equal, I agree with you, Carl. I think Miami has been the most impressive team in college football this year. And that's even when considering, I think, Mario Cristobal in the second half of these games just sort of downshifting and going way too conservative, in my opinion. I do think maybe at some point that gets Miami beat. And look, Miami's had a lot of trouble closing out games in recent years. But with what you've seen, with how great they are, and I use great, not good, on both lines of scrimmage, on the offensive line and the defensive line, where, you know, Carson Beck is obviously, being the quarterback, going to get a lot of Heisman love. He might be the third best player on that team behind Reuben Bain, Francis Moraga, the right tackle. And I would even throw their freshman wide receiver, Malachi Toley, in there. That guy has been dynamic. And so when you're asking Carson to not be the best player on your team, like I think it was the case at Georgia in 2023, but not the case in 2024, you see just how effective and just how good he can be as a quarterback for your team. So Ohio State's right up there. We're going to learn a little bit more about them as the season progresses. But right now, to this point in the year, as we get to the halfway point, I do have Miami as the best team in college football.
Saw it in person. There, DC, by the way, said that Castellanos was missing open receivers. Mm. There were some plays there in the first three quarters. They started hitting late. But to your point, yeah, that's as long as Chris Ball doesn't blow the game in game. Georgia Tech fans know what that looks like. You know, then obviously that team is loaded.
Yeah, and again, like their schedule for as good as it has been thus far, where like you know Notre Dame is a quality win at home. At Florida State, you were there, Mike. Tough place to play, especially where it seems like that program's been re-energized a little bit. You know, they get Miami, or they get Louisville on a Friday night, I believe next week, where that game, you know, Louisville's a competent team. I know they lost to Virginia last week, but after that, the Miami schedule gets very easy. So this is a team where, again, if they take care of business, they're going to be in the college football playoff. The problem is that last year with a Heisman Trophy winner in Cam Ward, all they had to do is take care of business, and they found a way late in November, right, lose at Georgia Tech, lose at Syracuse, two games that they should have won, two teams they were better than. And so, to your point, that's where Mario Cristobal sort of has to put it together and really put forth a complete season where, you know, I do think that this is a Miami program where I think it's more important for them to go undefeated than just win the ACC and get into the college football playoff.
I agree. Connor, tell the people where they can follow your stuff.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at @KConnorRiley. Big game this week. Georgia going down to the Plains. Super looking forward to being there.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one, man. Thanks so much, Connor. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep, looking forward to it.
Mike, they got all this stuff planned. Connor brings up a great point. Like, you know, the Cam Newton jersey retirement stuff, it's and congratulations to Cam. It's
no amazing. Longer the forgotten Cam.
No, but yeah. you got all this stuff planned. It's going to amp them up even more.
Yeah.
And if they start out fast and Georgia doesn't, be a game.
Right. And this is where, you know, it's funny because we talked to Mike Griffith later in the week and also from Dog Nation, you know, maybe falling too much in love with what Todd Monken did because the team was just so loaded on the other side. But I mean, Stetson Bennett just made plays. Gunner's got to see these things as they develop because look, Bobo is making things happen. He's just not seeing it.
All right, man. We got more to dive into. Guy Talks on the way. Mike's got some great stories for you here in about 15 minutes. Also, though, we got to fill you in on what's going on with the Falcons. Ross spoke today talking about the injuries. That's coming up at 5 o'clock. But when we come back, we'll tell you the latest about this trade and what it means around the NFL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pretty entertaining Monday night football game last night. We were talking about Sunshine, Trevor Lawrence. Maybe he's got the right guy. Just saw an article written today in Sporting News talking about Liam Cohen, who does rub some people the wrong way, including Robert Saleh, who was kind of joined with him after they played and beat San Francisco. So maybe he's just that prickly kind of coach, Carl. Maybe like a Sean Payton, to a lesser extent like a Jim Harbaugh. I don't want to crown him just yet, but they're in first place in Jacksonville. Maybe this is the guy. We thought Peterson was that guy. Maybe he gets Trevor Lawrence to be the dude everyone just thought he was going to be, especially after they gave him that contract extension.
You know, they've drafted fairly well. Look, the Travis Hunter thing, we're all rooting for Travis, Atlanta boy.
That's a work in progress, isn't it?
It is. But, like, when you go back and look at their drafts, whether it was ETN, defensively, what they've done, free agency, but they've got a new front office.
Trayvon Mike. Walker or just Ed Meyer.
Correct. But they've got a new front office in place as well. And that's been a big part of what's going on. And I think Tony Boselli's got a big say. The owner asked him as much to say, hey, we want you to have the input. And I just think right now, this is finally coming together. Mm-hmm. We talked about it this morning on the pre-show. Like, in that division, it's Indy, who nobody had winning that division.
Right.
And Jacksonville, Tennessee, forget about it. They're not going to win a lot of games. Texans, I still don't know what to think if C.J. Stroud is back or not. But the crazy thing is Jacksonville has a real chance to do some damage. Offensively, Mike, they got some playmakers, man. They really do.
They do. And they talked about, you know, the tough nature of it. It was, if you listen to the broadcast, it was just one game. I hate the fact we're a doubleheader next Monday night. But it was just one game last night. It was the big one. But Troy Aikman was talking about it, saying that, no, that's a physical defense. That the corners are physical. There's just physicality across the board. And maybe that is, you know, the sleeping giant. Maybe they finally kind of unlock it. Because for year after year, they seem to your point, have some great picks. And maybe this talent comes together, kind of like Cleveland's in the same boat, you know? And now Cleveland, we're going to see, maybe, God, I don't want to wish an injury on Dylan Gabriel, but there's still a part of him wants to see what Jarvis Sanders can be. Let's settle this argument, brother. All this discussion going all the way back to the draft in the spring.
I think he's going to play. I just don't know when. It's funny. Before the season started, one of the questions we were talking about is, in what week will Shador Sanders be the starter? And it was like week 8, week 9. Right. That may still play out.
Just may work.
It may still happen if Dylan Gabriel doesn't perform well. Mike, listen, if he goes in, plays okay, and they lose a few games, what does it hurt to go ahead and start Shador? Nobody's crowned these guys Hall of Famers. Like, he's not stepping in for a guy that's a 9-year starter. So I just think he will get a shot to play because Cleveland has to know going into the offseason, do we have our guy in that room? If we don't, they got to get back into the quarterback business in the draft. And that's just what they got to figure out. So I think we'll see Shador. I just don't know at what point. Because Dylan could have a couple of good games and everybody jumps on board, and then it falls apart. And guess what? Maybe it's week 12 or 13 before we see Shador Sanders. But I think it's going to happen.
I know that a lot of folks, and again, if you think about some of the things that were said, ESPN, you know, Kuiper was having a meltdown when this thing was going down during draft weekend. Through everybody, obviously, Ryan Clark, all the talking heads on ESPN. It's the greatest injustice that's ever happened in sports since Kaepernick got blackballed. But I just want to see what the guy can do. And as we said, Cam Ward's not lighting the world on fire by any stretch. Maybe this is just a bad draft for quarterbacks. But again, can't say that yet because we haven't seen Shador in the real games.
All right, 404-726-0929. We're going to play some Raw for you. That's Raheem Morris. Mike and I will be up there Thursday at Flowery Branch, guys, getting you ready for the Monday night game. And look, this is a slow build, okay? We said this when we started the show today. It's a little off because we're so used to coming off of a Sunday where we've had action.
I need some action.
Yeah, and it's like, okay. But we didn't have any action. And then this was a kind of a not a great Sunday schedule. We watched because it's the NFL. Right. But, you know, it was okay. And then last night, the Monday night game's intriguing and interesting, but we still were like, okay. So it's a slow build for us with this Buffalo game.
You think Kansas City makes it to the AFC Championship?
No, I do not.
You know, I was banging the drum earlier in the year because it sort of became in vogue. Everybody's like, oh, they're not going anywhere. Well, I got to be honest. I think, you know, this, it doesn't necessarily pass the eye test, although they finally got the skill position guys healthy and kind of, you know, going in the right direction. Hey, you see Mahomes when he basically took like a 10-yard run up to throw that last pass at Hail Mary? I mean, he still threw it 65 yards in the air. I mean, this guy's making it sound like he's got a noodle arm. It's like social media sometimes loses all perspective. I was like, well,
he didn't get it there. I mean, they thought he was going to throw it to the end zone.
I didn't realize he could throw the ball 90 yards, you know. But anyway, and the one thing that does come up, and we talked about to start the show. Check out our pre-show, by the way. It's something new and fresh. You can check it out on Twitch and YouTube. Just search 92.9 The Game. So you see Oren. See what Day-Day looks like behind the scenes. And Carl and I. And then we're talking about this stuff. The Chiefs and like the plane, I guess, to the margins, a pick play, which they probably use hundreds of times, and where you've got a receiver just basically blocking a defensive back. And Patrick Mahomes immediately go, no. That's within a yard. It's okay. But that's the kind of stuff that fans just get sick of. And then, you know, later on, to see the reverse of it, which was basically a Kansas City player knocking a Jaguars receiver on his butt so that Trevor Lawrence throws the pick. See Trevor Lawrence's face? It's like, what? What?
Yeah.
What just happened? But he kept his composure. That gets back to how we started the segment, talking about, you know, Liam Cohen and the influence on him. But the Chiefs, I mean, you can't complain about that. I mean, Chiefs getting every call last night.
Yeah, look, this is sort of like college football for me when you talk about where the Chiefs are going to be. I didn't have them winning the AFC West, Mike.
Daddy just said, I'm saying, but the big moments, yeah, they get penalized. They were sloppy, but they were the big moments. I mean, a turnover, and they got six. That's a drive for Jaguars to get stopped. That's a 7-point turnaround, and the refs missed it. So for all the things that Cleveland, if the Kansas City fans are bellyaching about being penalized, that was a touchdown. You know, and the refs blew it on that pick play.
I didn't have them winning the AFC West, and I still don't think they're going to. But it's not about teams being so much better than the Chiefs. I just feel like they're not going to have home field advantage throughout. And that is going to be the difference for the first time since Mahomes has been there. If they in fact get there, this is a 2-3 team. You are what your record says you are. Everybody wants to make the Chiefs better than what they are. They're a 2-3 team. Like, this is where they're at right now. This is their lot in life. This is not a team that's undefeated or rolling through the competition as they have in years past. But if you ask me right now, Mike, I mean, look, I think the Bills are better. I think and the crazy thing about this is the Ravens were supposed to be that other team. They're struggling. They're 1-4. Their record's 1-4. They're not any good right now.
Right. And the Chargers, look, they've got Amarian Hampton is out now. He's on the IR, so he's banged up with they got no running backs. It'd be interesting to see. Somebody I was talking to today at the gym was saying maybe Breece Hall gets traded from the Jets if the Jets are going to sort of fold their tent and maybe try to accumulate some draft equity. But yeah, the Chargers got running back problems. Bo Nix looked terrible the first 2 weeks. Now he seemed like he's kind of straightened out. Like, they just beat the Eagles. So now, and that's all in the Chiefs division.
Yeah. And unlike the AFC, the Eagles still look like, to me, the team that's head and shoulders above everybody right now in the NFC. But in the AFC, it's not the Chiefs anymore. It's just not. They're struggling. Right. And they're getting guys back. It's not like they didn't have Hollywood Brown. Xavier was on the field last night. It's not like they have all these guys not on the field anymore.
So it's almost, you could argue, because the Steelers, you still buy the Steelers? You know, they were off this week. They had to buy.
Look, I think it's a 10-win team that gets to the playoffs. I don't know how far they go.
Because you could argue, and I don't want to crown them, because Lord knows we didn't want them to lose on Monday night football, we want to see them, you know, be available and kind of coming in here a little, you know, overconfident. Talk about Buffalo Bills who fell to the Patriots on Sunday night, but maybe things, the stars kind of align for the first time for Buffalo. You don't have to worry about the Ravens. I mean, the Ravens, it's going to require an incredible turnaround.
It is.
To get the Ravens in the playoffs right now. First, just to win that division. And you just mentioned it. The Chiefs, maybe the boogeyman that's, you know, always kind of been their nemesis might not even be there.
If you're telling me Buffalo's got to go through, hypothetically, Indianapolis,
Jacksonville,
right. It's a different story. That's a different conversation. 404-726-0929. Hey, man, a reminder that coverage of the Falcons-Bills game starts at 11 a.m. Monday with a special broadcast from Signia by Hilton Hotel. Dukes and Bell, that's us. We'll be joined by Randy McMichael from the Nest on 4. Okay, that's where we're going to be. It's Signia Sports Bar overlooking Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We'll be breaking down all the things heading into the Monday night matchup. We're going to have a lot of fun. And the deal with that is Monday, that's the day of the game. Not obviously,
right.
Not today, obviously, but Monday, 11-3.
You think it's today, the way Abe is trying to produce this?
Well, no doubt. And Signia by Hilton. So join us, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, Abe, man, he's like, you guys ready for Monday? No.
I mean, I'm like, Monday?
On Christmas Day.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, on Thanksgiving. No, I'm not ready.
All right, Abe, Mike, is producing the show, so he's being very proactive on how we're going to do the Andy Randy Dukes and Bell mashup.
I can't wait to see his rundown tomorrow for Monday's show. Hey, what do we got coming up?
You know what makes for a good documentary? When things are going wrong. When things are falling off the rails. When there's all sorts of bad things. That's a documentary you want to see.
Yes.
I mean, it's much more interesting to watch a documentary on the Hindenburg than, you know, an airship that arrives safely.
This is true.
Well, that's not the case with the University of North Carolina. We'll explain. Also coming up, we got nailed for it. Another team pumping fake crowd noise.
What?
And how do you mistake your thumb for your middle finger? Jerry will explain in Guy Talk.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What Belichick kind of access he'd give North Carolina. Would we see the zesty girlfriend in this video? Because remember, there was a lot of commentary about her and how she was too involved in the program. They kind of walked it back. Remember the time they had the interview on CBS Sunday Morning when she was like, I'm not answering that. You know, talking about how they met.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff I wanted to see.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
Well, after starting 2-3, some people are saying that Bill Belichick's North Carolina team is arguably the worst in the Power 5 right now, or Power 4, whatever's left of it. The team has scrapped plans for that documentary series that was going to chronicle the season with Hulu. This comes from Inside Carolina. Series was going to follow UNC. It was actually had camera crews out there for the entire season, and it was the second crack at a documentary because initially Hard Knocks was going to do Belichick's UNC, and that was scrapped as well over the summer. So remember, HBO wanted to do it, and then okay, I guess either more money or maybe more control as far as the product, the final edit with Hulu, perhaps. Either way, nothing. You're not going to see anything, and that's the thing about a documentary. You know, when the Raiders had Antonio Brown going through a meltdown, you missed all of it. Everything seemed to happen after HBO made their final cut for Hard Knocks to air on Tuesdays. Remember that season?
Of course.
So you missed everything. Well, basically, you're going to miss everything on this one. You're not going to see Jordan Hudson. You're not going to see Bill and his idiot son. Nothing. It's canceled.
Were they
not talking about this?
Yes, we've heard you. How much were they paying them? Do we know?
That's what I'm trying to find.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, because they were going to pay for this access.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, but, and again, it's a nice way to increase revenue. Everybody's looking for alternative revenue streams in college football. Speaking of which, sidebar, apparently a bill, someone's going to run this up the flagpole of Congress to block private equity from investing in college football. I think we both appreciate and approve that, right?
Separate.
Right. But getting back to Belichick, I mean, it is a disaster. And I was joking around with Carl earlier off the air today. One of my buddies who's a big Carolina fan sent this to me. Carl, they're already turning on Belichick. W-R-A-L in Raleigh. Basically, I guess they're 6 o'clock sports guy saying, this is a disaster. It's all about entitlement and ego, and it's Belichick is ruining North Carolina. The families and the players, they all feel that it's all on Belichick. He's ruining Tar Heel football.
He is. They're not lying. Big O, what do you think, man?
So, take this for what you're able to take it for. Getty, Carolina's game this weekend, they took 57 photos for Getty. And of those 57 photos, they said 23 of them are of Jordan Hudson.
Wow. Because
that's Getty Images, and that's where you see almost all your images these days, if it's not from a newspaper or from a TV station.
Is that because she's just more interesting, more people are interested in what she's doing than anything else? I mean, the games are not interesting.
I mean, what's Bill going to do that's kind of compelling right now? Nothing. She's the most compelling thing about that program,
no,
I guess.
It's true. Mike, he is slowly but surely, and I hear from North Carolina fans all the time, he's spitting in the face of the program. They are upset.
Did you guys see the game, their game? Well, you probably didn't.
No, why would
purposely,
I?
Right. Right. But anyway, they were playing Clemson this weekend.
Got smoked.
I might have had it on the four box. I can't remember how I saw it. Oh, I know.
21-0.
Yeah, we were driving. I know what it was. Yeah, we were driving up to Memphis, and as I was watching them because I was passenger.
Yeah.
And whatever
glad
game
you
I was watching.
That.
Yeah. While I whatever game I was watching was ending, I went to see just what was happening in that game, and by that time it was a blowout, but it was still like early in the fourth quarter. When I tell you, all you saw was empty seats. I've never seen anything like that at a college football game.
Yeah, Franklin's popping at that point. Keenan is not.
They're showing everybody just walking out the aisle. Look,
it was bad.
Carolina, we talked about this. Excuse me. The article in Sports Illustrated that came out this spring, coincided with their spring game, that not everybody on all the boats were in the same direction on this. There are a lot of boosters, big money alum. I think the university president wanted, the AD didn't want Belichick. And so there was a lot of friction. So this thing, I mean, this could be one and done. It's not an impossibility.
How is this better than what Mac Brown was doing? It's not.
Right, not even close.
And that is, this was supposed to be better than what Mac Brown was doing, and it's not. That's to me is the tale, Mike. But we'll see. It's a shame though we don't get to see the behind the scenes stuff with the Hulu thing.
Right,
I wanted to do that.
Hey man, big difference. Most of us know between your thumb and your middle finger.
Hold on, let me see.
Here's your thumb.
Okay.
Most of us have five digits, unless you're Jason Pierre-Paul.
Yes.
But for what it's worth, Jerry Jones at the Jets game at MetLife is waving to some fans. And he gives a thumbs up, and I guess a New York fan either said blank you or something, and then Jerry flipped him the finger. Carl's posted the video and put him up, see Dukes.
It's so funny, because Jerry is literally like, we won this game. Thumbs up, like a politician, you know? Hey, we won the game. What'd you say to me? Here's the middle finger. Yeah. And he literally, he knows exactly what he's doing.
Now, there's a precedent. Former Oilers and Titans owner Bud Adams flipped the crowd. He got fined $250,000. Daniel Snyder. I'm not Daniel Snyder. The Tepper with the Panthers. He's also given the obscene gesture. So, yes, even the owners will get fined $250,000. Jerry goes on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas and explains.
We were all excited about there wasn't any antagonistic issue or anything like that. I just put up the wrong show on the hand, but that was inadvertently done. And I'm not kidding. It was, if you want to call it accidental, you can call it accidental, but it got straightened around pretty quick. I've had a chance to look at it. It got straightened around pretty quick, but the intention was thumbs up and then basically pointing at our fans because everybody was jumping up and down excited.
Again, Carl and I have looked at the video. Now you haven't examined it.
I'm not kidding.
No, come on, Jerry. Come on. The die is cast. Goodell's finds you.
Call it accidental. You can call
it's
it
not
accidental.
Accidental. You got the thumbs up, and then you flip the bird, unless you've lost all motor control over your hands.
And I'm not kidding.
This guy's unbelievable.
It was a momentary lapse of coordination. Remember
you
that?
You want to call it accidental, you can call it accidental.
Warren, you know the scene in The Shining when Jack Nicholson's character is explaining about how he had pushed the kid? And it was a momentary lapse of muscular coordination. A split second per ounce of pressure.
And I'm not kidding.
Yeah. Good luck with that. All right, on to other fines.
Cut the check, Jerry.
From the Cowboys being lighter in the wallet to the L.A. Rams. There's a precedent for this, too. Happened to Falcons. Back in 2015, we pumped in fake crowd noise. Still don't know how they figured it out. At the Georgia Dome, cost us a fifth-round pick in 2016 and $350,000. Now, have you been watching the Rams or the Chargers? They're in a tough spot. Chargers looks like they maybe got a few more players, a few more fans in some of the rivalry games than the Rams. But when the 49ers are in town, it's like 70,000 freaking 49er fans come down to SoFi. So when the 49ers were on offense, I guess the Rams, somebody in that, in management decided crank up some fake crowd noise. It got picked up, and now the NFL is going to pop them for $350,000 and perhaps a draft pick.
Wow. It's that bad? It's so far?
Yeah, because, I mean, when the crowd was quiet, because it's all 49er fans, you know, to shut up when your team's on offense.
Yeah.
And there's not enough Rams fans to make any noise. So they apparently didn't learn the lesson from what somebody did in our organization who's no longer with the organization.
Crazy. Crazy. That's yeah. Look, we've gone through this to Mike's point. We didn't even know, by the way. I mean, Mike, when that was going on, we'd be at. Did you even realize it at the stadium? I didn't.
No.
I never knew this was going on.
I mean,
we had a rat.
No, we were down because again, it was. I mean, they dropped ticket prices for years. The 300 section did get filled up. Now 15 was a tough year. We were a 500 team that year, and that's when we needed Alex Mack. We didn't have a center. We had issues. That was the first year of Shanahan as the OC for Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn's first season. One of the many Dan Quinn 5-game losing or more streaks that occurred in his tenure here.
Yeah,
but yeah, I sat down low in the old section 124. So we brought the heat. We never were aware of fake noise. Meanwhile. Yahoo, and I don't know if this happened in your fantasy league, guys. If you're ESPN, I'm a Yahoo fantasy leaguer. They add a twist to the final score from that Arizona-Tennessee game. For Tennessee fans or Arizona defense, perhaps you got some juice. Tennessee gets a defensive touchdown, and you lose 6 points for Tyler Lockett. Lockett is not credited with that offensive touchdown. Remember, after the ball is intercepted, fumbled, kicked, and then Lockett falls on it in the end zone. Initially, they mentioned that was a personal stats for him offensively. So once the ball is turned over, technically the offense becomes a defense. So if you are and you owned Tennessee defense, not that you would have had them that week, you've just gotten yourself some extra points. So the Arizona defense will be charged with 16 points allowed instead of 22.
That's not right.
So because
that's not right.
Hey, I'm just telling you, that's how the folks at the nerds at Yahoo see it.
So did it hurt you? Did it hurt your game?
No, didn't affect me whatsoever.
Yeah,
I got the Colts defense, and I'm loving life.
Pretty good.
A Colts defense, by the way, good pickup this week for guys looking for something. Buffalo's not a great defense, and as we said, not good against the run. Dave Archer, if you miss it, we're going to play that for you coming up and see what he has to say about that. Hey, by the way, I got time for one more. telling Carl off the air today before we did our show on our pre-show. I had a very nice, pleasurable, I want to give a shout out, even though it's not Delta. Sorry, Delta. The price was just too much. I had to go to Lufthansa to get the ticket for Berlin for the Falcons game. I was looking for an upgrade, Carl, on my seats. I had a wonderful time today talking to Lena. It's Lufthansa customer service.
You got in?
In Berlin.
Then what was the wait?
About 45 minutes.
Okay. Okay.
But at least they do tell you, it's like, your caller, 75.
As people
talk. Your caller, 62.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, 58, 41. Finally, I wrote it out. And then Lena, she's like, and what can we do to help you? And I, now again, in my mind's eye, I'm thinking she looks like, I don't know, Claudia Schiffer.
Okay. But you have no idea.
No, I guess you could be 600 pounds. Yes. Not that it matters. It's what's on the inside. It matters, ladies that are listening. But no, do you ever have a customer service where the person sounds kind of sexy? Am I just the only one? No? Nobody?
No, it Bueller? Happens. It happens.
Day-Day, you can admit this without your wife getting you in trouble.
You're the only one.
He's got to work on his abs. He's afraid. He's scared.
Can you? Would your wife really yell at you if you'd said, yeah, one time I was on customer service and the chick sounded really hot?
No, she wouldn't.
Carl, you buying that?
No, I'm not.
Dude, you live in fear. Anyway, so yes, thanks to Lena, who is able.
I am not afraid.
To accommodate me. And so finally, and I was making small talk. I'm like, well, your English is very good. Oh, thank you so much. I studied in university. I'm like, oh, that's very great.
You know it was AI, right?
Don't tell this to me, man.
You know it was AI,
no,
right?
No, it was AI.
Now they said everything you wanted to hear.
Absolutely,
they,
it was AI.
They said that, but there was ambient noise in the back. I could hear the clicking of the computer.
Of course, that's AI.
They can make that too, Mike.
They can do all that.
Don't ruin it. You know, Lena and I had a moment today for 10 minutes.
That's exactly what they wanted.
For all we
know, they wanted you to believe that you and Lena had a moment.
And now Uncle Mike and Aunt Becky get to sleep on the plane because now we got the seats with the bed. Thanks to
for
Lena.
For all we know, Arch could have been at home and just pumped in ambient noise and made us think he was in a car doing Russell today.
I do get a kick sometimes. It could be any product, any company, and the call center. You generally, there's a huge call center business in the subcontinent, in India. And I always give like the person the American name. So it's like, hello, this is Marianne. You know, like, no, you're not Marianne.
No.
But you know, but that's, you know, remember that was Slumdog Millionaire. They talked about that in the scene, how they try to make it seem like it's, you know,
look,
playing to the country that you're going to be caught getting the calls from.
Exactly. But I'm just telling you guys, like, real talk.
Why you got to ruin this?
Because it's true. This is what they wanted you to feel good. You get on the line. You've been waiting 45 minutes. And look at what happened. You just did the upgrade they absolutely wanted you to do. AI.
I know. Well, you have a buddy, Chris. Now, this guy isn't AI. Christoph is from France. He used to live in my building in Midtown. And he's the guy, his department, they come up and they write the computer programs for the algorithms that get you to spend that money to upgrade to Delta Comfort, things like that. Which, because, and I guess for everybody, there's like a pressure point. They find the number and you go spend it.
Depends on how much you fly.
Right.
Right.
That's
really the deal. That's awesome, though. But no, seriously, I don't know what you look like, but I hear you. Yeah, that happens.
I think
but it's very rare.
I think that Lena was real and we had a moment. How dare you?
Well,
all right, one last story.
AI is.
We didn't have this. Now, this was no AI and nobody wrote the, did a digitization of an alligator. Didn't have the story yesterday because we were focused on everything else. Did you see the video of Vince Whaley playing golf? This guy rolls up his pants, gets in the water, he hits a shot, and there's a 6-foot alligator in the lake.
Oh, he could have kept the ball.
Have you seen this video? You can Google it. Whaley figures the alligator was about 20 feet away. He plays his shot. This was the Sanderson Farms Championship. I don't even know what level of golf this is. But anyway, it's a par 5. He was one shot out of the lead at the time. So he's like, all right, I'm going to play ball. He's going to go for it. And this guy's literally got both feet, not one foot.
It's nuts.
With one pant leg rolled up, but both feet in the agua. And he goes, thankfully, my back was to him so I could focus on the shot. The gator never moved. The guys asked him, a reporter said, what if the gator moved? Well, the plan was to get the hell out of the water.
Yeah.
But that seems to be like, that's, you know, I'll take my stroke and I'll just have to fight out another hole.
I guess he really wanted that Pro-V. I mean, like, that's...
Well, he was in the contentions and that's what he was going for.
Man, no, I don't know if I would have took that chance. Did the gator move at all?
The gator was just sitting there staring at everybody, but not, I mean, didn't move.
Lucky he wasn't hungry. Yeah.
I played Magnolia at Disney and I did that shot. I was playing with Jimmy Barron from 99X. We were doing this old TV show called Real Guys, Real Golf, and I did the same thing, the one leg in there, and as soon as I get done, the caddy goes, you know there's alligators in this pond.
Yeah.
Now you freaking tell me.
What was
your plan? To hit him with a freaking 8-iron when he walked up on me?
It would have been too late. He would have ate the 8-iron and you.
Be Stumpy Bell with Dukes. It's true.
Anyway. When I hit in the water in Florida, I don't even, give me another ball. I'm not even
forget about
it.
Exactly.
No, there's no way.
Where there's water, there's gators.
There's gators.
Just
hey, man,
for you, Mike.
Good stuff. This is for computer love.
You know what?
Computer love.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. How can I help you? thank you, Lena. And Alfida Zane, fella.
All right, man, coming up, what did Ross say today as we start to get ready for the Bills? He talked about AJ's status and what is our team's identity. Wait until you hear what Ross says next.
The momentary loss of muscular coordination. Few extra foot-pounds of energy per second, per second.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.